I want to talk to you this morning about digging ditches. You know, as you saw in that video from the movie Facing the Giants, we saw that they were preparing for rain. See, listen, we can start small as we seek a greater life, but we need to make practical preparations that demonstrate our faith. There are two well-intentioned reasons why people like us get stuck after we burn the plows. And you remember from week one, we talked about burning the plows, where Elisha had to make that choice to break away from that old life and the things that he was doing. And he burned the plows and he slaughtered the animals and fed those that were with him. And it was a significant moment in his life. But see, after we burn the plows, there's two things. Usually we don't think big enough and we don't start small enough. We should dream bigger, but we also must take realistic steps of obedience that can make God's plan come to life. You will see in the scripture in a moment that I'm going to read to you out of 2 Kings that the kings of Israel, Judah, and Edom, they were stuck. They had a problem. They had an issue. They got to the desert and they ran out of water. Meanwhile, their enemies, the Moabites, were massing on the borders ready for war. So picture this in your head. They're ready to go to war. They're ready with their weapons, their soldiers. Everyone's ready to fight. Yet there are animals and men actually dying of thirst. How would these kings and armies get water? So let me read to you out of 2 Kings 3, 9 through 20 this morning. It starts in verse 9. So the king of Israel set out with the king of Judah and the king of Edom. After a roundabout march of 7 days, the army had no more water for themselves or the animals that were with them. What? Exclaimed the king of Israel. What? Exclaimed the king of Israel. Has the Lord called us three kings together only to deliver us into the hands of Moab? But Jehoshaphat asked, is there no prophet of the Lord here through whom we may inquire of the Lord? An officer of the king of Israel answered, Elisha, son of Shaphat, is here. He used to pour water on the hands of Elisha. So picture this. You know, he's a prophet. He's out there. He's waiting to help and maybe even speak up and do something. And he gets introduced on the guy who used to pour water on the hands of Elijah. So now we see Elisha as the water boy. That's how he's introduced into this story, the water boy. So to go on here, it says, Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Verse 13, Elisha said to the king of Israel, why do you want to involve me? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother. No, the king of Israel answered, because it was the Lord who called us three kings together to deliver us into the hands of Moab. Elisha said, as surely as the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, if I did not have respect for the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not pay any attention to you. But now bring me a harpist. And I'm going to get to that point here in just a minute. He goes on to say, while the harpist was playing, the hand of the Lord came on Elisha and he said, this is what the Lord says. I will fill this valley with pools of water, for this is what the Lord says. You will see neither wind nor rain, yet this valley will be filled with water, and you, your cattle, and your other animals will drink. This is an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord. He will deliver. He will also deliver Moab into your hands. You will overthrow every fortified city and every major town. You will cut down every tree, stop up with the springs, and ruin every good field with stones. And verse 20 says, the next morning about that time for offering the sacrifice, there it was, water flowing from the direction of Edom, and the land was filled with water. So we see in the story now that Elisha is on the scene, he's giving a word, and he's kind of throwing down a fight right here in the middle of this whole thing, kind of ticked off that, you know, now they're all going to give God a try, right? The battle had not gone as planned. They were in need of water. But see, it got so bad, now these men are like, you know what? Let's see if God can maybe help us. So they called for Elisha. See, a need in their life forced them to seek something that was beyond themselves. And I know we do that as well many times when we face things in our lives. Maybe you have been marching roundabout, stuck in depression, or just messed up emotionally and physically. Sometimes a great need can drive us to a deeper dependence on God. And actually, it should drive us to a deeper dependence on God, because when there's nothing else, and there's God, and God is all that you need. See, we saw in verse 13, it says, go to your prophets of your mother and your father, your mama and your daddy, right? Elisha sticks it to the king here. And the second part of that, he says, no, it was the Lord who brought us together to hand us over. See, now God's getting the blame, right? God's getting the blame in this whole thing. It's funny how God gets hardly any credit when things are good, but most of the blame when things are going bad. And we see in verse 14, if it weren't for Jehoshaphat, I would not look at you or even notice you. See, right there, that is an ouch moment, ladies and gentlemen. He's just throwing the smack down, basically saying, you know what, if it wasn't for this guy over here, I wouldn't even be talking to you or looking at you. And the next part of this is somewhat funny. See, these men are waiting for a massive word from God and all staring at Elisha, waiting for what he is about to say. And he says, you know, he's ready to give forth this word and he's ready to do a thing here in this place where they're out of water. And what does he say? He says, bring me a harpist. A harpist. That's right. We needed some kind of mood music here in the background. And it's like, really? Bring me a harpist. Some mood music? Not a guitar, piano, no. What he called for was a harpist. And see, what we do here at this church is, when we're praying and believing, and we're screaming things out, and we know what God wants us to do, and we're like, God, we're believing for bigger things. And John starts playing on the piano, and we're like, God, we thank you for greater things, and we're believing, and we know that you are a God who's more than enough. And then we stop the music. And then I say, but God wants to bless you and wants to fill you with his love and pour out his blessing upon you. You see, when we don't have that music in the background, in that background like we do right now, John play again, and we just go nuts and we say, you know, God is ready to pour out his spirit on you and you can do all things through Christ. See, when we see that, when God is moving, that we have music and the presence of God is here, and moves upon our hearts, we see amazing things happen. See, the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha, but probably not the word that these men wanted to really hear. Now, what he said next was, make this valley full of ditches. And they're like, wait a minute, we're waiting for God to really just kind of throw out some things here. See, we've seen the things that have happened with Elijah. You know, Elijah was the one who put the mantle on Elijah, and we saw that he called fire down from heaven and wiped out an entire army that was basically worshiping Satan and the prophet of Baal. We've seen what God can do, and wait, you're telling us to make this valley full of ditches? What are you talking about? See, these kings were expecting a shortcut, yet God saw greater. God is not a shortcut to greater things. See, he's the answer, the only answer to greater things. Listen, everybody wants a miracle, right? Everybody is believing for something probably at some time in their life. I know I have been. But see, miracles aren't magic tricks, and faith is not a lottery ticket. Faith is a work order. It's something that you put your mind to believe in and connect with God and know what he's already done in your life. See, you want to see some rain? Well, dig a ditch. Listen, it doesn't matter what's going on in your marriage, what's going on in your life, what's going on in your job. You're believing big things for your kids or people in your family. If you've been addicted to drugs or alcohol, even maybe took a drink last night before you came to church, or you're believing for a breakthrough in your finances, the thing that you need to do and believe God for is to dig a ditch. Step out in faith and do the work that God is expecting you to do. So you want God to bless your life financially? Well, you have to put him first. You need to be generous, and you got to get you a budget. And I know that can be a cuss word to some people, but people need to get a budget and get something rolling in their life and not just think that they can grab that Sears card or JCPenney card or that Visa card and go out and buy whatever they need whenever they want it and have to face the consequences later. See, one reason we feel insecure in our relationship with God is because we're comparing our behind-the-scenes footage to everyone else's highlight reel. Let's look at the game Guitar Hero. See, everyone wants to be a rock star, but nobody wants to learn the chords. Everybody wants to see God do a miracle, but few want to do the work to prepare for it. Like I said, we're comparing our behind-the-scenes footage to everyone else's highlight reel. Listen, we don't know how that person got there. We don't know all the things that someone went through to get to where they are. Listen, the seats you're sitting even in this morning, are seats that were prayed for and believed for, and this school was prayed for when God called us to plant this church, and on all the work that we had to do of training and traveling around the United States and putting a team together and people moving here and raising money and all the sweat and tears that went into it that people don't see. You see, when the music stops, what God wants you to do, He wants you to pick up a shovel. See, the Bible tells us that faith without works is dead. Listen, when we're believing for something, but we never do anything about it, we're not going to see that thing come to pass. See, only God can make it rain, but He wants you to dig a ditch. And not just one ditch, but many ditches. What did He say in this scripture? He said, make this valley full of ditches. Now think about this for a second. These men are tired, they're weary, their animals are thirsty, they're very thirsty, and they're not even close to knowing what they're going to do. And they call this man of God forth, and he says, fill this valley full of ditches. And they're thinking, it's hot, I don't have anything to drink already, and you want me to start digging? Yes, that's exactly what God wanted them to do. See, the nature of faith here is when you are at your end and God says, dig a ditch for some rain on a sunny day. You're looking up at the sky and you see no cloud in the sky, and it's 70, 80 degrees, and God's saying, dig a ditch for some rain. See, the faith to get beyond the inspiration and get into a place of participation. God wants us to participate. And how we do that is by using our faith. See, God is not limited by us, but if we don't move, God usually will not move either. Matter of fact, I can show you in the scripture numerous places where it was God saying, it is your faith, it is your faith. And when everybody is waiting for God to do something, and as God is just wanting us to hook our faith up with what He's doing, we must participate in our miracle. There's an example in the Bible. It talks about the man with the withered hand, and he's facing Jesus and wanting healed. And what's Jesus say? He says, stretch out your hand. And you have to understand, a withered hand means he couldn't move his hand. He couldn't do anything. But by faith, he stuck out his hand and he was healed. See, that's where faith is born. Listen, if God can make it rain, He could also create the ditches for you. He didn't ask them to dig ditches because He needed their help. No, He wanted their faith in motion before He moved. God will perform the miracle when you are in position to receive the miracle. Today, you need to dig a ditch in the area of your life where God wants to move, or where you need Him to move. Listen, last week you burned the plow. Now it's time to move beyond that. You know what God's called you to. You're ready to move forward. But now it's time to step out in faith and dig a ditch. And as you know, I've shared before, is the Shows, John, who leads our worship, and Tanya, his wife, and their son Haven, they moved up here from Shreveport, Louisiana. Not guaranteed anything, just stepping out on a word of faith, believing God for what He wanted them to do. And now we're in this place doing great things, and God is using them and has provided for them abundantly. See, one way to dig ditches is to change our words. Switch from words of condemnation to words of affirmation. Switch from words of hopelessness to words of faith. Stop agreeing with the world and start seeing you how God sees you. Listen, changing our words can wind up helping how we think and feel and what we do. I know this lady evangelist, you may have heard of her, name's Joyce Meyer. She does amazing things in the Word of God, but she said this statement. She says, listen, if you complain, you remain. And when you're in that place of always complaining, that's the place that you're going to stay. So who in your life today, if God was asking, do you need to forgive? Who in your life do you maybe need to go to and say, God, I need to just forgive these people? Or maybe even say, God, forgive me for what I've done and for done what I've done to them. See, there were many ditches dug to be in this school that you're even sitting in today. There were a lot of ditches dug so you could sit in here and your kids could be in one of the greatest children's ministry that we've created for this area. We dig ditches. Listen, digging ditches, it started a while ago. I started this greater series over 4 months ago. I prepared for rain. And you ask, well, what's that rain? Listen, that rain is you. Those of you sitting in this room today, we began to prepare as a team for rain. Back to the scripture, you see in verse 17, it says, you will see neither wind nor rain, yet this valley will be filled with water. Now, I just want to share another scripture with you, Mark 11, 22 through 25, that talks about faith, and it says this, it says, have faith in God. And listen, if you don't do this first part, the rest of this makes no sense and cannot happen. It says, have faith in God, for whoever says unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says shall come to pass, he shall have what he says. As you notice a lot in here, it's all about saying something. It's your words that are so important. And it's believing in your heart. Listen, you can have doubt in your head and faith in your heart at the same time. But as long as you are speaking faith, you can see those things come to pass. And it goes on to say, so whatever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have them. And when you're praying, forgive those against you so that God can forgive you. A key to faith and believing for greater things is forgiveness and not holding grudges. See, faith is preparing for the thing you can't perceive. It's preparing for the thing you don't know where it will come from or how it'll happen, but getting ready anyways. Hebrews 11, 1 talks about what faith is. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, our faith is built in something. It's a substance. It's a tangible thing, something that's hoped for. And that word hope, if you study it out in the context of the Bible, in the Greek language that it was written in, it's a happy expectation of something good. And then it goes on to say the evidence of things not seen. So if you wrap that all up into one thing, when you step out in faith, you're stepping out on something that you can't see, but it's with an expectation of something good. See, God doesn't call you to have enough faith to finish. He calls you to have enough faith to get started. Sometimes that first step is the hardest thing. I know that when working out and wanting to get to the gym or do those kinds of things, it's not once a minute. Once a minute, I'm doing it. Maybe not happy running on that treadmill or lifting the weights, but it's that first step. And we look back here at the scripture. It says, verse 16 through 20, I will fill this valley with pools of water, for this is what the Lord says. You will neither see wind nor rain, yet this valley will be filled with water, and you, your cattle, and your other animals will drink. This is an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord. He will also deliver Moab into your hands. You will overthrow every fortified city and every major town. You will cut down every good tree, stop up all the springs, and ruin every good field with stones. And the next morning, about the time of the offering, the sacrifice, there it was, water flowing from the direction of Edom. And the land was filled with water. But guess what? It was only filled with water because when the man of God came forth and said, you got to dig ditches, they dug ditches. They didn't stand around and wait for someone else to do it for them. They did it. And we saw also in here in verse 17, it says, this is an easy thing for the Lord. Listen, just as Jesus said that his yoke is easy and his burden is light, that you can come to him and you would never feel condemned or burdened or feel like there's a heavy weight on you. No, he's the one who removes those things from you. In verse 20, the next morning, there it was. Listen, the atmosphere of expectancy is the breeding ground for miracles. When you expect and believe God, you're going to see things come to pass. Now, Psalm 30 in verse 5 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Listen, it may be digging ditches all night, but you can expect water to be in those ditches in the morning. You see, obedience and faith open the door for God to move. So my word to you this morning is this: you've burned the plows, but now it's time to go dig a ditch. And know this, the ditches we dig are to make room for the water that God will send. And I can tell you this on top of that is this: even though you haven't seen the water come, through the power in the blood of Jesus Christ, through his death, burial, and resurrection, that water is already provided for you. And all you have to do is connect into the power of God to see it come to pass. Let's pray.